This by Zanna Eve Chown. Bernice Summerfield was just a little too old to be taken in by a name like Bliss. She'd visited planets called Leafy Paradise and Vedantia that were covered in dust and ice, respectively, and had once spent 24 hours queuing for a water park called Ultimate Excitation that had turned out to have only one slide. No, the name Bliss was definitely a bit of calculated PR. She was sure of it. And yet... It would be nice, wouldn't it? Bernice thought, as she settled back in her sort of comfy bunk, to visit a place that was genuinely blissful. She'd done her research this time. Well, sort of. She'd asked around, at least, and nobody had had a bad word to say about the planet Bliss. The people had fought in the war, been pleased when it was over, and seemed to keep themselves to themselves. There was a chance that Bliss was boring, but then that wasn't so bad, was it? In fact, boring would make a nice change. To hell with it, Bernice thought. She fancied a break. Bliss's only spaceport was clean as a new pin. Small, wheeled robots darted here and there, polishing, tidying, dusting, cleaning, and generally creating the impression of a hive of activity. One rolled up to greet Bernice and offered to take her luggage. She declined, and followed it along an arrowed walkway to a series of shiny archway scanners, clutching her small holdall to her chest. It might only contain a change of underwear, two old lipsticks and a few biscuits, but they were her possessions to carry, thank you very much. Bernice passed through each of the security scanners in turn without setting off any alarms, always a relief, and found herself with a choice of two exits. "Don't tell me," she said dramatically. "One leads to freedom, the other to certain death." "No, the door on the left is for first-time visitors to Bliss," corrected the robot. "The door on the right is for repeat visitors."
"That's what you say," said Bernice. "But if I ask the guardian of the other door which door to choose, what will it say?"
"It will say, the door on the left is for first-time visitors to Bliss. The door on the right is for repeat visitors," said the robot.
"I was joking," said Bernice. "There's this famous riddle, see, and..."
But the robot had already rolled away. "Suit yourself," sighed Bernice. She peered through the door on the left and saw a large screen set into the wall. The words, "Welcome to Bliss," were boldly written over an irritatingly jazzy background of stars, hearts and flowers, and in smaller letters below, "Please take a seat and watch this important instructional vid before leaving the port." She quickly checked over her shoulder. The little robot had gone. All the other robots were ignoring her, and there was not a person in sight. Quietly, she backed away, sidestepped to her right, and went through the door on the right. Bernice smiled as the double doors to the outside world glided apart like magic, and she stepped out into brilliant sunlight. As she wandered past the cleaning robots and stood on the moving walkway that rolled gently towards the city gates, she marvelled at the efficiency of it all. It was only when she was entering the city that she realised she still hadn't encountered a single living being. If the spaceport was like a new pin, Bernice thought, Bliss City was even newer and pinnier. There was no traffic in the streets, and none of the usual city noise, just the hum and whir of the tiny wheeled robots going about their duty. There were rows upon rows of houses, with neat little gardens at the front, sparkling windows, and firmly closed front doors. The only thing that seemed slightly unusual was the huge tower that rose up high above the houses in what looked like the centre of the city. A curtain twitched, and Bernice looked up, hopefully, only to see a little robot busily dusting the windowsill. "They've got it all sorted here," Bernice thought. "But where are they?" A sudden thought struck her. "Oh, help," she thought. She was being specious. The robots probably were the people, and she'd just been ignoring them. A little machine whirred busily past. "Hello," Bernice said. "Lovely day." The machine said nothing. "I'm looking for a bite to eat," said Bernice. "Can you recommend anywhere nearby?" She paused. "Anything will do, really. I've been mainly living off biscuits." The machine said nothing. Sighing, Bernice gave up and carried on walking past the hedges, where a dozen identical machines were snipping and clipping away furiously. They can't be people, she thought. I bet the people are all out at work or something. I just head for the tower. It's definitely something important, like a church or a shopping mall. By the time she had reached the tower, Bernice was feeling less and less hopeful of achieving any kind of bliss. She was bored and lonely. The closest thing she'd got to any kind of interaction with the robots was when she had accidentally dropped a biscuit from her holdall. The nearest cleaning robot had suddenly zoomed towards her, brushed up the biscuit, and sped on, not stopping to sympathise or admonish. The tower was made of darkened glass, and the only doors were locked tight. It was impossible to see inside, and there were no bells, buzzers, or helpful signs. The whole thing was extremely exasperating. Plus, she was getting hungrier by the minute. She really regretted dropping the biscuit. She was just weighing up the possible nutrient value of her lipstick when a rotund yellow robot scooted directly in front of her, then swerved up the driveway of the nearest house. The front door buzzed open, and the robot entered, letting the door swing shut behind it. Almost. A corner of the doormat had stuck in the side of the door, stopping it from closing fully. The robot didn't seem to notice, or didn't care, so Bernice followed it up the path and pushed the door open again. "Hello?" she called. "Is anyone there?" She entered the hallway, clean and shiny as the pavement outside. "The door was open," she added. A small table by the door held a lamp, and a mirror hung on the wall. Bernice looked at her reflection, grimaced, and continued on her way. There was a kitchen and a sitting room, all in order, although obviously unused. It was like a show home, Bernice thought, as she began to flick through possibilities in her head. The people are hiding. The people are invisible. The people are dead. A sudden sound from upstairs made Bernice jump. Hello, she called again, cautiously starting up the spotless staircase. The door to one of the bedrooms was ajar, and she could see the tantalising glimpse of an actual flesh-and-blood woman under the sheets on a frilly bed. The yellow robot was working busily in the bathroom at the end of the hallway, seemingly disinfecting the toilet. It hadn't noticed her approach. Quickly, Bernice pushed open the bedroom door and slipped inside. The woman's eyes were shut, and her chest rose and fell gently. Not dead, then. Or invisible. That was a start. The only thing that suggested the woman wasn't just having a nice afternoon nap was the monitor that stood by the bed, blinking to itself and whirring quietly, its wires disappearing beneath the bedsheets, connecting... Bernice lifted a corner of the sheet to check. To the body. Bernice dropped the bedsheets hastily, taking a step back. But the woman didn't wake. Her eyelids fluttered, as if she was having a dream. Hello? Said Bernice. I'm, looking for... She trailed off, feeling increasingly unsure of herself. What was she looking for? From the bathroom she could hear the sound of the yellow robot busily scrubbing away at the already clean tiles. She backed away from the sleeping body, but as she did so, one foot became tangled in a cable, and she tripped, reaching out for the monitor to steady herself, and, in the process, pulling a bunch of wires out of the machine. At once the woman's eyes flicked open. She stared wildly about the room for a second, as if unable to believe where she was. Then she focused on Bernice. "I hadn't finished," she said accusingly. "I'm sorry," said Bernice, picking up the unplugged wires and looking at the machine. "It was an accident." "Don't you know who I am?" demanded the woman. She struggled to sit up in bed, then stopped, her puffy features contorting as she tried to make sense of her surroundings. "I'm sorry," said Bernice again. "I don't. But I'm the singing starlet of the Seven Isles," the woman said in an aggrieved tone. "Ah," said Bernice. "Okay. No, sorry, I'm not really from round here." "I won this year's singer-song contest," protested the woman in disbelief. "My voice has been called sublime by choirs of angels. I was ranked first in the top 10 stars of all time countdown on Channel 9. "Wow," said Bernice. "Nice to meet you. I'm Benny.
"Never heard of you,"
The woman ran her fingers over her face, slowly as she tried to put her thoughts together.
"Am I dreaming?" she asked finally.
"No," said Bernice. "I don't think so." The singing starlet looked around the room again, as if seeing it for the first time.
"So that's the problem," she said in relief, sinking back into the plump pillows. "I thought this was all a bit mundane. Plug me back in."
Bernice was still holding the unplugged wire.
"Plug me back in," said the woman again, in a slightly more aggrieved tone. "I just got to a really good bit."
Bernice held the wire up to a promising-looking port under the monitor.
"That's right," said the woman irritably. "Come on, quickly."
Bernice plugged her in.
"Thank you,"
she said faintly, and her eyes flickered and shut. Frowning, Bernice backed away from the sleeping body, just as the little yellow robot whirred through the door, brandishing a pair of scissors. "Whoa!" She jumped out of the way, looking for something she could defend herself with. There was a heavy-looking hairbrush on the dressing table, and she grabbed it. "Don't come any closer!" The robot ignored her, heading instead for the bed, where it raised itself up on its back wheels and started to trim the sleeping woman's nails. "Ah." Bernice put the brush back down. She couldn't work out if she was relieved or frustrated. The lack of concern that anyone, robot or otherwise, had shown her since she had arrived on this planet was quite unprecedented.
Can we talk?"
The robot said nothing.
"Take me to your leader."
Nothing. Bernice looked at the panel on its back and thought about how easy it would be to just reach forward and press one of the buttons. That big one at the bottom, for example. All she'd have to do was just lean forward and give it a little tap. "Oops," said Bernice.
"Powering off," said the robot,
its metallic arms retreating down towards its sides, the scissors still clutched tightly. "Right," said Bernice. "Let's see what other buttons you have." She crouched down beside the little robot, running her fingers over the control panel.
"Don't worry. I just want to find out a little more about you. I don't want to set off..."
An alarm! Bernice jumped to her feet as what was obviously an anti-theft alarm squealed around the room.
"Oh, come on," she said, jabbing randomly at the buttons. "I'm not stealing you, I'm just..."
Over the noise of the little robot's alarm, she could hear a siren wailing from the street outside and the whir of machines screeching to a halt outside her house. Well, she thought, with a shrug as the front door burst open and the thud of heavy robotic feet sounded on the staircase, "at least someone is noticing me." A bulky pair of robots crashed through the door, each one more than 3 times the size of the little yellow cleaning robot. These were black and red, with what looked like guns set in their chest cavities.
"Don't worry," said Bernice. "I'll come quietly."
The robots grabbed hold of Bernice's arms and bundled her out of the room, their sirens blaring.
"Oh, stop it!" shouted Bernice. "I said I'd come quietly!"
On her cosy bed, the singing starlet gave a contented sigh and slept on. Bernice had been right about the tower. It was definitely where all the action was. If by action you meant a load of robots quietly and efficiently going about their business... Oh, well, beggars can't be choosers, Bernice thought, as she was half dragged into the lift and deposited in a locked waiting room on the 3rd floor. The room was bare, apart from a few chairs standing against one of the plain white walls. Bernice stood on one and looked out of the large window at the robots gliding around the street below, in and out of houses, up and down the roads, sweeping, clipping, carrying, sorting. Not a human in sight. Were they really all in bed? Bernice wondered. And if so, then who was in charge? The door opened and a cart-shaped robot wheeled in with 2 mugs on its back. One seemed to contain some kind of soup. The other was empty. Bernice studied the pictures on the side of the mug and laughed when she realised what it was for.
"Ah, so this one goes in," she said, gesturing at the soup. "And this one is to catch whatever comes out."
"Nice." She took the mugs from the cart. It beeped and left the room. She drank the soup. She looked out of the window. She did not use the empty mug. It was quite a while before the door opened again and a blue robot appeared. This one had the approximation of a human shape and features. "Hello, prisoner," it said, through a little mouth grill that didn't move. "Oh, good," said Bernice. "A talking one. Hello, how's things?"
"The courtroom is prepared," said the robot. "I am here to take your details."
"Courtroom?" said Bernice. "I don't understand."
"A courtroom is a place where a trial takes place," started the robot.
"I know what a courtroom is," said Bernice. "I mean, I don't understand why you're preparing one for me."
"Please state your name."
"Bernice Summerfield.
Bernice Summerfield."
The words flashed up on a screen in the robot's stomach as if it had literally digested the information.
"Please state your address."
"Of no fixed abode."
"Please state your address."
"Well, I've been sleeping on my ship, mostly. It's parked in your spaceport."
"Bliss Spaceport. Arcadia Drive, Bliss City."
The words appeared on its tummy screen again.
"What is your dream?"
"Huh?
What is your dream?"
"It's okay, I heard you the first time. I just don't really know how to answer. My dream like the one I had last night about the fish stuck up a tree, or my dream like to drive the world's most expensive space yacht?"
"Dream 32. Space yacht driver."
The robot swallowed the words again.
No, wait, I was joking.
"Dream 35. Comedian."
No, that's not what I meant. What's this all about, anyway?
"Thank you, prisoner. Goodbye." The robot turned and wheeled out of the room. Bernice sprang to her feet to try and follow, but the door slammed in her face.
"This isn't fair!" she shouted through the glass at the top. "I have some questions to ask you, too!"
she paused.
"I don't want to be a comedian!"
The chairs in the waiting room were surprisingly comfortable, and Bernice found herself dozing off. She was woken by the blue robot again.
"Hello, prisoner,"
said the robot.
"Oh, hi," Bernice said, sitting up groggily. "More fun questions? Okay. I've always wanted to try kite surfing, but I never had the chance to learn. And my favourite book is, Are You a Citizen of Bliss?"
"No.
No, I'm not. Have you watched The Welcome Vid?"
"Nope."
"You must watch The Welcome Vid."
"If you say so." The robot turned to the white wall and projected a medium-sized screen onto it.
"Oh, you're a projector too," Bernice said.
"My designation is User Interface," said the robot. "Audio-visual capabilities are integral."
Bernice saw a vaguely familiar-looking picture swim into view with the words "Welcome to Bliss" emblazoned across it, and sighed.
"Fine," she thought. "I'll watch the vid. I'll apologise for not watching it at the spaceport. I'll leave. Right, Bernice?"
"Right." "Please take a seat and watch this important instructional vid before leaving the waiting room," said the designated user interface.
Luckily, the vid was only about 3 minutes long. It was also a cartoon. Bernice was pretty sure she had followed most of it, despite the lack of narration or, indeed, speech of any sort. It started with a picture of the planet Bliss, hanging in the sky, like a little pink jewel, then zoomed in to show the tiny cartoon humanoids on the surface marching off to war, little clouds of smoke puffing out under their boots as they stomped along. The little clouds of smoke got larger and larger until they filled the screen and the whole of the planet was engulfed. As the smoke cleared, Bernice saw the little army figures casting off their military uniforms to reveal brightly coloured civilian smocks. Then each person started to think hard. You could tell they were thinking because of the way they were rubbing their chins and because little bubbles were appearing above their heads. Each bubble contained some kind of glitzy, glamorous daydream. Bernice could see people singing, dancing, acting, driving racing cars. Then suddenly, one by one, the little people turned and marched towards a neat little row of houses. One by one, they lay down in their little beds, plugging themselves into the little monitors that stood beside them, until only one man was left. He looked up at a tall tower that had magically appeared, then went inside, where a little bed and a large red button were waiting for him. He pressed the button, and a stream of robots appeared from one of the walls. Then he lay on the bed and plugged himself in, just like the others. The dream bubble that showed he was, what, king? Floated above him as the robots poured out of the tower and into the streets to start work. The film ended. Bernice and the little blue robot regarded each other in silence for a while.
Questions?
Asked the blue robot.
So many, said Bernice, moving up to the screen and staring at the image of the last sleeping man. But most importantly,
can I see him?
The robot paused for a moment, internal lights twinkling as it considered the request.
You can see him, it said.
The room where the last man was sleeping was right at the very top of the tower. It was as white and sparse as the rest of the building, but the bed in the middle of the room looked cosy and warm. Bernice crept closer and saw a middle-aged man tucked up in the white blankets, snoring gently as a robot brushed his hair.
When's he going to wake up?
Bernice whispered.
He will not wake up, said the blue robot.
But
you have seen him, as requested.
No, that wasn't the point at all, said Bernice. Just give me a second, okay?
Quickly, she moved over to the bed and patted the man on the shoulder.
Hello, she said. Can you hear me?
The man's eyelids fluttered, and he struggled to focus on Bernice.
Hello, she said. Hello?
The man stared.
You're not the Lord Chamberlain, he said eventually.
I'm not. Are you in charge around here?
Oh, yes, said the man, sounding a little confused. I'm the king.
He pulled himself up and glanced around the room.
Wait a second. Am I awake?
Yes, said Bernice grimly. I'm sorry, but I need to talk to someone who is not mechanical for a moment.
I can't be awake, said the man, looking panicked. I've got too much to do.
Now look, I'm sorry your dream didn't work out. I really am, but there's nothing I can do about it. Talk to that blue robot over there. It's one of the chatty ones.
I don't have a dream, said Bernice firmly.
The man looked aghast.
I'm not from this planet.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I've seen the welcome vid, but it's not good enough.
I need to know what's going on.
I've been arrested.
Arrested?
The man looked worried.
Are you dangerous?
No.
Well, you could be, I suppose, if that's your dream.
We don't judge.
The man seemed to be slipping back into his sleep state. With a sigh, Bernice strode around to the monitor and looked menacingly at the wires.
If you do not talk to me, I'm going to turn this whole thing off, she said. Is that clear?
The man yelped. Don't do that! What's your problem?
My problem is that I have been arrested for no particular reason. If you're the king, you should be able to let me go.
The man laughed slowly.
The king? He asked.
Oh, I'm not really the king.
He looked at Bernice's puzzled expression.
I mean, I am in my dream. I'm totally the king. I'm the best king there ever was. People adore me.
So why are you in this tower if you're not the king?
I was the last person left awake, said the man proudly. I got to press the button.
Like the one in the welcome vid?
That's it. The one that started all the robots going.
Cautiously, the man sat up.
Now I'm awake for a bit. I don't suppose I could have a cup of tea, he asked.
The blue robot whirred into life.
I will order a cup of tea, it said.
No tea in Dreamland, then? Bernice asked.
Oh, there's a daily tea ceremony in the palace, said the man. I insisted on it, but it's not really the same.
I mean, the robots give us all our nourishment intravenously, so it's not like I'm thirsty or anything, but, you know, I'm actually awake. It would be nice.
He tailed off as a cart-shaped robot, identical to the one Bernice had met earlier, wheeled in, bearing a china mug. The man took a sip, closed his eyes, then let out a loud, appreciative sigh.
Oh, now that, he said, is good.
He took another sip.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten it could taste like this. I mean, the tea ceremony is great and all, but this has more, I don't know, texture? unpredictability?
He took another gulp. Oh, he said delightedly. It burned my tongue. Is that good?
I'd forgotten that hot things could burn your tongue. He said, ow!
He added happily, ow, ow, ow!
Right, said Bernice. Well, I'm glad for you. Now can you just tell this robot to let me out and I'll be on my way?
Oh, no, said the man seriously. I can't do that. It won't listen to me. We put the robots in charge, didn't we? That was the whole point.
And that happened why exactly? Asked Bernice. The welcome vid wasn't too hot on detail.
Oh, said the man.
Well, it was all part of the rebranding we did after the war. You know, we changed the planet's name to Bliss and gave it over to the robots to run.
He paused expectantly, then suddenly giggled.
Sorry, I was waiting for you to say yes, Your Majesty.
Do you want me to?
Well, no, not especially. Do you want to?
Not especially.
The man giggled again.
Free will, he said. What fun! You do what you want to do. I have no control over it. Things can go wrong. He clapped his hands together delightedly. Things are going wrong for me, said Bernice, so keep talking.
Well, the war was like a wake-up call, really. I mean, some people gave in to despair, but most of us turned to philosophy.
Philosophy?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, suddenly, at exactly the same time, everyone on the planet faced up to the fact that the planet was ending. Really ending. And all the usual boring questions and worries went out the window because there was only one question that mattered. How do you give life meaning? And there's only one answer to that question. Follow your dream. It's obvious. Everyone has a dream inside them that is being smothered by everyday life. Something that wants to get out. A novel to write, a play to star in, a world record to set, and all the other stuff, the working, eating, sleeping, talking, it just gets in the way. Well, to cut a long story short, we decided to go for it. We let the machines take over all the day-to-day admin of life, leaving us free to follow our dreams. Everyone on this planet is spending 100% of their day living their perfect life. Singer, actor, celebrity chef, guru, he giggled. King.
But it's not real, said Bernice.
But we're happy, said the man.
Maybe, said Bernice thoughtfully. Then,
have you by any chance heard of the singing starlet of the Seven Isles?
I don't think so. Should I have?
She won this year's Singer-Song Song Singer Song Contest.
I don't think she did. It was a dog act that won this year. I should know. I hand out the prizes.
He stifled a yawn.
I'm tired, he said, then laughed. My eyes hurt when I rub them. How weird is that?
Not very, said Bernice.
So what you're saying is the dreams aren't linked. None of you get to take part in anyone else's.
Yes, that's right, said the king. It's not one big dreamland, just lots and lots of private ones. He yawned again and snuggled down under his white duvet.
If you'll excuse me, he said, I've got a country to run.
Bernice opened her mouth to speak. Then it shut again as the king started to snore.
We will go to the courtroom now, said the blue robot.
Fine, muttered Bernice.
In the lift, Bernice had a thought. How long has everyone been asleep for? She asked.
2 years, 6 days, and 42 minutes, said the blue robot.
And they're asleep all the time?
Correct, said the blue robot. The lift doors pinged open and the blue robot led Bernice into the corridor. Above the set of double doors that led to the courtroom, there was a stern red light, telling them to wait. Bernice slouched against the wall, trying to wrap her head around what the king had said.
It didn't seem right, any of this, but it didn't seem catastrophically wrong either.
She needed a reason to get involved, and if the rest of the dreamers were as keen on going back to sleep as the two she'd woken up, then all she'd get for interfering was a lot of complaints.
Are you going to wake them up? Bernice asked.
You know, in a few years or so.
We have not been programmed to do that.
Well, they could wake up on their own, though, she persisted. I mean, if they wanted to.
Correct.
But have they? Has anyone chosen to wake up in the last 2 years?
No one has woken up in the last 2 years, 6 days and 46 minutes.
Of course they haven't, Bernice thought. Why would they? They're living the dream. And that's what's wrong. Once they're inside it, they're trapped. They don't have a chance to change their minds.
What happens if they never wake up? She asked.
We care for them until the end, said the blue robot.
You mean till they die?
Correct.
And when everyone's dead, we dismantle the city and switch off, said the blue robot.
And the people are okay with that.
The people are happy.
Well, now they are. But did they really plan to sleep until they died? What's the difference between that and just being, well, dead?
The people are happy.
I'm pretty sure they didn't think this through.
The people are happy.
You can't argue with that, thought Bernice gloomily, can you?
The light above the courtroom door turned green. Far above her, on the topmost floor of the tower, the king dreamed. It was time for the royal tea ceremony. A beautiful young man, dressed in the royal colours, stepped towards the throne, holding a tray with a delicate porcelain teapot on it. The royal musicians started to play the king's favourite tune as the ladies and gentlemen of the court took their seats below the dais, waiting for the king to take the first sip. He took the teacup from the beautiful young man and raised it to his lips. The court waited. He sipped. It was perfect. Not too hot, not too cold. He frowned and put it back on the saucer. The court stared, their eyes widening at this unprecedented event. "What is the matter, sire?" asked the beautiful young man. "So beautiful. Too beautiful. A simulation of beauty. Did it burn your royal mouth?"
"It did not," said the king. The court breathed a sigh of relief.
"But I rather wish it had."
The court gasped.
"I think," said the king, carefully looking around the golden room and rubbing his eyes, "I think that I want to wake up now."